We'll be going through for the next several weeks. Built to Last, we're going to look at practices that shape a life of faith. As you turn to James, James is a more general book than most of the New Testament books. He is writing to Christians in more general than most other authors in the New Testament. We understand that Paul, when he wrote letters, it was very specific to certain people and to churches, but James is writing to general Christians. And these Christians, they were going through persecution, they will scatter, they will disperse. And James would later be the pastor of this first century church in Jerusalem. And as you read James, or at least the way I read James, you can tell that James has the heart of a pastor. He gives them a lot of challenges to encourage them, but to help them grow. And one of the truths that he challenges them on this morning is how they should respond to trials in their lives, but also how that they need to have an appreciation and the necessity for the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We are going to look, and the sermon title is More Than a Book. I grew up enjoying to read books, and I enjoyed reading different mysteries, different sorts of books. But as we look at the Word of God, we're not just looking at a book of stories. We're not just looking at a book of good quotes. We're looking about the living Word of God. And we are going to look at what James has to say about the Word of God this morning. Look at what it says in James chapter 1. Look at what it says in verse number 21. James 1, verse number 21. The Bible says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." God's word is essential for our faith to be strong. God's word is essential for our faith to be strong. You cannot build a strong Christian life while neglecting the Word of God. See, God has given us his word to direct us and to guide us. And many times we find ourselves in a situation or maybe a circumstance that causes us to neglect the very thing that is going to help us. I've told many times that I enjoy cooking, but more specifically, I enjoy grilling. And when I moved here, one of my first purchases was to order a grill. And I remember I was so excited when the grill came in and I opened the box and the first thing that I saw were the instructions. I picked up the instructions, okay, I knew it was important. I kind of flipped through it for about 20 seconds and I put it to the side and I said, "I've got it, I know exactly what I'm doing." So I remember taking out all the pieces one at a time, the screws, the tools that I'll need, the grill lid and everything that I'm going to need to put the grill together. And it was going pretty well. And by the time I got it all put together, I noticed I had about 10 screws left over. And I said, "You know what, they just gave me some extras in case I lost some. You know, that's pretty common." So I put that to the side and I sat the grill up and I quickly realized something was wrong. A wheel kind of fell off and fell to the side. The grill started to lean to one side. And I said, "I know it doesn't look like the picture." But then I realized that, you know what? I better go back to that instruction manual that I should have looked at the beginning. You know, many times we treat those things that we need help with the most like we don't need it. Sometimes we treat that way the Word of God. You see, things can be going well in our lives, and then we start to put the Word of God to the side. And you know what? Many Christians are frustrated with areas of their lives, but yet we neglect the Word of God, which can help us and direct us. See, the problem for me, it wasn't a lack of instructions. It wasn't that the instructions were not in the box. It wasn't that I couldn't read the instructions. But the problem is I wasn't yielding to it. And we treat the Word of God the same way. It's not that God hasn't given us His Word. It's not that God hasn't given us the instructions that we need. The issue is we don't surrender to it. And we don't obey it. So the question I have for you this morning is, not whether you have God's Word, because we do have it with us this morning, but what are you doing with it? Are you neglecting it? Do you only pick it up when it's convenient for you? Do you only read it when you are in a difficult time? Do you only use it when you need some assistance with different areas of your life? Or is it your source of your life? When God speaks to you through His Word, how do you respond? James shows us in this passage that the Bible is more than a book. It's not merely information that we can acquaint ourselves with, but rather it's truth that God intends us to use to build a life that is strong, but also to transform our lives. And in these verses, James gives us three descriptions of God's Word that shows us why Scripture is essential to our spiritual growth. As we look to verse number 21, we see the background, the past couple of verses in verse 19 and 20, James gives some encouragement. He explains to them that every man needs to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And then verse 20, he says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, our response in anger does not bring glory to God. All responses matter. All wrath does not lead to God's working in our lives. When someone mistreats us, when a circumstance shows up and we respond in anger, we respond unkindly, that is not how God works in our lives. But rather, James continues, look what it says in verse 21, saying, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." That part, superfluity of naughtiness, it basically means an overflow of wickedness. You see, if we are going to be spiritually mature, we need to realize what sin is. Before we understand how God's Word should produce growth in our lives, we need to realize what hinders growth. And that is sin. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we studied about the race that we are in, how that we need to lay aside the weights that hinder us. And this morning, I want to explain to you that sin is something that will do nothing for us spiritually. Sin hinders us. Sin will stunt our spiritual growth. With kids, we have a definition for sin, and we use this in our VBS, in our classes. We say that sin is anything that we say, do, or think that breaks God's law. And that is a great definition. That is true. That is sin. But many times when we think of sin, we often think about sin as terms of what we do wrong. But ultimately, we need to realize that sin violates a holy God. Sin is against God's commandments. But James wanted us to understand something else, that sin hinders our spiritual growth. If we are going to have a faith that's strong, and if we are going to have a faith that lasts our life, we can't be harboring sin in our lives, because that does not allow us to grow spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 2 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." If we are going to grow as a Christian, we have to lay aside sin, put it to the side, and grow in the Word. That is why James says that before we look about what the Word of God is, before we look at these descriptions, we need to realize what we need to remove, and that is sin. But notice as it says in verse number 21 as we continue, "and receive with meekness the engrafted Word." There is a way that we should receive God's Word, and that is through meekness. That is by yielding. You see, to receive God's Word with meekness, that means to receive it with a humble heart, with a teachable spirit that is willing to accept and obey what God has. Tell you, every time that we open God's word, whether it's in your small group, whether it's in your personal devotions, God has a truth for you. He has something that he's trying to teach you. How do you receive that? And James says that it should be with meekness. When God teaches us that truth, our response matters. We can't read that truth when God speaks to our hearts. We can't say, oh, that's great for so-and-so. That's great for my brother. That's great for my family. That's great for my parents. We have to realize that when we open God's word, that truth God has for you. How do you receive it? You see, the issue isn't always about hearing God's word. You see, we have access to God's word, whether it's you in church this morning hearing the word of God, whether it's in your small groups or whether it's in your personal devotions, listening to God's word. It's not about hearing the instructions. It's about yielding to it. But the first description that James gives us of God's word is, notice, point number one, the engrafted word. The engrafted word. What does that word mean? It carries the idea of something that is implanted or planted within. You see, God's word is never intended to just be heard. God's word is never just intended to just sit down and listen to. You see, it is intended to take roots in our hearts and produce change in our lives. James says, remove what hinders growth, but also receive what produces growth. It's almost just like I remember growing up in the Midwest in Minnesota, a lot of farms. I grew up in a small town, Eagan, Minnesota, and everywhere you drove, it was just farms. You could see it, you could smell it as well. But many times you see all sorts of different produce. You see corn, you see all sorts of different things. And if a farmer picks up seeds and wants to plant something, he has to remove those things that hinders it. You see, if I have a seed in my hand, it's not going to do me any good unless I put it in the right soil, unless I put it into the ground. And Matthew talks about that many times with the parable of the right soil. There were seeds that went to the wayside. There were seeds that fell among thorns. There were seeds that were planted in all sorts of different soils. But the correct one that grew, that produced, was the one with the right soil. You see, when we hear God's word, are we allowing it to take root and produce growth in our lives? Because that's the purpose of the word of God. You see, it starts with taking in God's word, whether it's through your devotion time or through the preaching, you hear it, and then it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other, but you allow it to, as you meditate on it, you believe it, you begin to obey it, then all of a sudden our attitudes change, the way we think change, the way that we live our lives change as a result of hearing, but also receiving the word of God. You see, that's why James describes this as the engrafted word, because it's something that is supposed to be implanted in our hearts and allow it to produce growth. But notice as it continues in verse number 21, it says, but that which is able to save your souls, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I see in that part the power of the gospel. You see, through God's word, we hear the truth of the gospel. We learn how that we are sinners in the Bible for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sins, we deserve eternal separation from God because of how holy and how his character is and how he cannot look at sin. But then we realize because of that, Jesus loved us so much in John 3:16 that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. But then he died and was buried and rose again on the third day. Paul says that is the gospel and that is salvation. But if you notice who James is writing to, he's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to Christians. So why would he say, which is able to save your souls? This is what I believe he's saying. He is not saying that Christians earn their salvation by reading God's word. He is not saying that you do not earn your salvation by obeying God's word. But he is reminding them of the saving and delivering power of the truth that they have received. You see, it's not enough just to hear God's word, receive the gospel, and then not open the word of God or not open the Bible for the rest of your life. He said the same power of the gospel that saved you is the same power that you need to continue in, that you need to walk in. You see, the same word that showed us our need for salvation is the same word that we need to continue to read, continue to produce growth in after salvation. You see, God's word can transform our thinking, but God's word can also transform the way that we live our lives. The question is, how will you live your life? Do you just hear God's word and then just decide, I'm going to live my life any kind of way? See, we have a lot of questions, don't we? About what to do. We have a lot of decisions that we need to make, and we want to make sure that we make the right decision, correct? We want to have wisdom. We want to know which way we should go or what direction when our life is in circumstances. But we can go to God's word because that is truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, James didn't want them to put God's word to the side after salvation, because we need to realize that the more that we grow, the more that we live this life, the more that we should recognize how much more we need God's word and truth in our lives. We see what's going on around us, how the world is going, and we shouldn't look more at what our opinions should be and what our ideas should be and the way we should live our lives. But the more that we see the way the direction our world is going, the more that we should desperately need to cling to the truth, which is God's word. 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the word of God is not just a book full of stories, even though there are stories in there that we can learn from. It's not just a book of proverbs that we can get wisdom from. It's profitable for every aspect of our lives. You may wonder, how should I make this decision? I need to change jobs. I need to do this. I need to know how to deal with this family member. I need to know how to deal with this situation. We can go to God's word and seek wisdom so that we can live our lives. You see, sin wants to lead us into bondage, destruction, and spiritual ruin. And just because we receive salvation, just because we are saved and on our way to heaven this morning, doesn't mean that we're still not battling with the flesh. We still battle with sin. We still have temptations. We still have trials that will try to hinder us from our walk. But you see, aren't you thankful that we have God's word? And aren't you thankful that we can seek forgiveness from God? What does Psalms 119:9 says? Well, withal, shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? You see, someone who is a spiritually mature Christian, who's growing, who's seeking to honor and obey God with their lives, they're not going to go on their own path and ask God to bless that path. They're going to ask God and say, God, I don't know which direction you want me to go. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look to your word, and you show me the path that I need to go. See, that's the purpose of God's word. It's not to validate the path that we are on. It is for us to turn to Jesus and see the path that he wants us to walk and the life that he wants us to live. See, the goal isn't just to receive God's word, but we need to allow God's word to change us so that we can grow spiritually. Is God's word something that you're just hearing this morning? Or are you allowing it to take root in your heart and change the way that you live? James' first description that he gives is that God's word is the engrafted word that needs to take root. But also, he gives his next description. Look what it says in verse 22. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He explains to them about the engrafted word, but secondly, he tells them about the revealing word. You see, the word doers carries the idea of someone who performs, someone who practices or carries something out. When I think of the difference between a hearer and a doer, I think of having a to-do list. I don't know. I hope I'm not the only one in the room. I have a to-do list. Whether it's what I have to do for the day or when I have to go shopping, I have a list. When I go shopping, I would like to go in, get what I need, and get out. I don't like wasting time in stores or shopping. I just like to get what I need and then leave. But you know, the purpose of a to-do list is not to fulfill those tasks. It just shows us what we need to get done. It just shows us what we need to do. But we have to do the action. We have to actually do it. See, it's not just about writing things down and then not doing it. You have to carry out the action. See, James is explaining to them that it's not just about hearing God's word, but it's about doing it. And he also says deceiving your own selves. James is saying that we deceive ourselves if we think that we are at the point in our Christian life that all we need to do is hear it and not do it. You see, if we want God's word to change us on the inside, we can't just think that hearing it on a Sunday morning is good enough. We can't think that listening to it in our personal devotions is good enough. We have to be searching God's word and allowing his truth to be in our hearts, but also so that it can change us. You see, James gives the difference between just hearing God's word and being exposed to it, and then the actual obedience to it. You see, we can hear preaching every Sunday. We can attend our Sunday school. We can read our Bibles every morning, but we will not be spiritually mature. We will not have a faith that lasts if we are not willing to do what God tells us to do. We can't grow if we are not willing to obey. See, many times we think that spiritual maturity is measured in knowledge. We think that, oh, this person can quote this many verses. Oh, they must know God's word. We think, oh, they are in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Oh, they must really be close to God and mature to God. But you see, that's not how we have a strong faith. It's not just by hearing. It's not just by attendance. It's about how obedient you are to when God speaks to you. See, it's demonstrated by how much God's word is changing the way you live. You know, a lot of people can have a knowledge of God's word, can't they? A lot of people can quote many verses, can do many things, but there's a huge difference in knowing God and actually obeying him. Look what it says in verse 23. He says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I love the way James writes this because he gives his own illustration. He says, okay, imagine a glass, someone beholding his face in a glass. Now, we understand what a mirror is. In those days, they would take any metal and scrape it so they can see their own reflection. But James isn't referring to a glass like a window glass. Like if we look outside right here, we can see outside. But that's not the glass that James is talking about. He's talking about a reflective glass. And as we think about that this morning, when we think about a mirror, what is the good thing about a mirror? Well, it shows you what you can't see, but it also shows you reality. If I wake up in the morning and think, okay, I didn't toss and turn that many times last night, I must still be pretty good to go, and you go to the mirror and then you realize, oh my goodness, like, oh, I just woke up, right? I have all my hairs going crazy. You know, you can just tell that, you know, you're thankful for a mirror so that you can see those things. But you see, it reveals reality. It shows you who you really are. You see, the purpose of a mirror is for us to see what needs to be taken care of and then fix it. Imagine with me, if you had a mirror and you walk in, you look at it, and you see the problems, you see what needs to be fixed, and all of a sudden, the mirror, some hands appear and starts fixing your things, your hair, combing your hair, brushing your teeth. Just imagine with me if that sort of thing is available, where it's not. You see, a mirror just reveals those things that we need to take care of. But it's our responsibility to fix those things. You see, the mirror shows the things that we miss. You see, the comparison of God's word is to reveal areas that we get wrong. Just as I need a mirror to reveal something about my physical appearance, I need God's word to reveal not only those things that are wrong, not only those things that are right, but also my spiritual condition that I may not recognize for myself. You know, some of us may think, oh, I'm doing pretty well. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. You know, I invite my friends to church. And we may think, you know what? Compared to other people, I'm doing pretty well. But when we get into God's word and we start reading God's plan for us and we start lining ourselves up with the way that God wants us to live, all of a sudden, he starts revealing things that we need to get taken care of. And it's our responsibility to take action against that. See, we cannot expect other people to take care of things on our own or know exactly what we need, which is why we need God's word to expose those things that we need to work on. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, aren't you thankful this morning that God's word is alive and it's powerful and it's still working, it's still effective today, it's still changing lives. But I think this description of God's word is very interesting. Look what it says, how it's compared to a two-edged sword. You know what a sword does? It cuts. It pierces. It gets beneath the surface, you might say. You see, God's word doesn't just confront what I did and show me what's wrong. You know what God's word also does? It shows us why we did it. It shows our heart. It shows our intentions of why we performed that thing or why we did that act. You know, maybe I did something good, but maybe the scripture reveals that I did that in pride. You know, maybe I said the right thing, but scripture shows that there was some bitterness behind it. You know, maybe everybody else thinks I'm spiritually mature, but you know what God's word does? It reveals areas of our heart that nobody else knows. Which is why we see in the rest of that verse, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, a physical mirror reveals what's happening on the outside. But God's word, it goes a lot deeper than the mirror. It doesn't just show the surface. It doesn't just show those things that we can quickly get to. It also shows our heart and what's happening on the inside. Look what David said in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there'll be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What I love about Psalms 139, it starts with David acknowledging who God is, how he's everywhere, how he knows everything that David does. But then David starts to attack his enemies. He's saying, "Any enemies of yours, God, I also hate." He starts saying that, "Let them be destroyed. Let them be removed. Let them be taken asunder." But then David closes the Psalms by saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there'll be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." You know, we know a lot of people that can show up well, that can dress well, that can memorize scripture, that can seem very spiritually mature and have a strong faith. But it's only God that knows the heart. And David asked God specifically to search his heart and to know his thoughts. Anytime I read that verse, I'm convicted. Like, even though God knows everything, he can search my heart, he knows my thoughts, he knows why I do these things. But are we asking God to search us? Are we asking God to reveal those things that we need to work on? Are we just satisfied with just showing up every Sunday and looking right and showing all the right things and saying all the right things? Or do we want God's word to actually change us on the inside so that it shows on the outside? Are we asking God to reveal those things that we can work on so that we won't just look like we're a Christian, but that we will actually live like a Christian? See, many times we're so worried about other people. We ask God to search their intentions. We ask God to look at our brothers and our sisters and see the way they're doing things, but we're never really self-examining our lives and seeing if God's word is changing us and seeing if there's anything wrong with us. And that's the purpose of God's word. You see, James wanted them to understand that the mirror is to show the problems. The problem isn't the mirror. The problem is us. Because look what James says. He says, a hearer is just going to look at the glass and just walk away the same way. How many times have we opened God's word, read a chapter, read a few verses, and then we walk away, leaving the exact same way? You see, when we look in the mirror of God's word, we have an opportunity to get it right. We have an opportunity to confess those sins. We have an opportunity for God to work and shape us in the way that he wants us to live. But many times, we walk by that opportunity. And we think it's okay, we'll just fine, and we go about our day. But you see, if we're going to be spiritually mature, if we are going to grow, if we are going to have a faith that lasts, when we open God's word, we have to be intentional about hearing what God has for us, but going past hearing, actually doing it. Because the purpose of God's word isn't just to show us who we are, but it also reveals what needs to change. And it's our responsibility to change it. James gives them a description of God's word, how it's the engrafted word. He says that it's a revealing word. But look what it says in our final verse this morning, verse number 25. The Bible says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice finally with me, point number 3, the liberating word. Look what it says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. James closes this thought by giving 2 very different comparisons. As you see that word, perfect law of liberty, you know, if we just look at it on the outside, you know, these two technically shouldn't go together. Law is the restriction, you know, rules that you have to follow. But liberty is freedom. But Paul puts both of these things together. How does he do that? So we understand that the word perfect, it means it's whole, it's complete. I'm just thankful that he calls the word of God perfect, meaning that it is whole. Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm here to tell you this morning that God's word doesn't need improvements. It doesn't need additions. It doesn't need subtractions. We don't need to read God's word and think, oh, I'll insert my word here. I'll insert my own opinion here. That's not the purpose of God's word. We have the perfect word of God. As I said at the beginning, the problem isn't the instructions. The problem is us. So we have the perfect word of God. But we also see, he says, the perfect law of liberty. You see, freedom is not living any way that we should. Biblical freedom, that's not the way that we should live. Satan may plant lies in our thoughts that makes us think that, oh, if I can't do what I want, if I can't live the way that I want, if I can't do the things that I want to do, then that's not true freedom. But look what the Bible says about freedom, okay? We see in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. So we understand that if we we are all sinners. We see that in Romans 3:23, and we are all enslaved to sin. But when we are set free from the bondage of sin, if you are here this morning and you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are set free from the bondage of sin. Amen? Amen. So because of that, we have freedom to live, but specifically, we have freedom to live the way that Christ intended for us to live. I imagine it this way. Imagine if you have a train, and you have, of course, a train going on tracks. What if someone walked up to a train and says, boy, the train's only going where the tracks takes it. You know, the train is not completely free. Okay? Just walk with me with this for a minute. Let's say we just remove the tracks. Can the train, let's just say we remove the tracks, say the tracks, it's limiting the train, let's just take off all the tracks. What happens to the train? It ceases to be a train, right? It's not useful for the use of a train. You see, the tracks allows the train to function according to its purpose. You see, God's word isn't just a book full of rules that we are restricted to, that we don't have the freedom. We have freedom from sin, but God's word gives us the boundaries so that we can live the life that we are called to live as a Christian. What did David say in Psalms 119, verse 45? And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. David puts freedom and God's commands together because it's God's word and his commands that protect us from falling into those things that will enslave us. Sometimes we look at God's word and see, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't go here. I can't do this. When the purpose of God's word is not just to tell us what we should do and what we can't do, it's to protect us and to help us not fall back into the sin that enslaves us. It's not that God isn't trying to keep something good for us. We have free will. We can make decisions. But we will just set free from the bondage of sin and from what enslaves us. And sin no longer can control us because we have victory in Christ. And as we study and as we allow God's word to take root and produce growth in our lives, we don't become more and more like what enslaved us. We become more and more like the one who saved us. Look what it says as we continue, verse number 25. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. I was talking to the teens this morning, and I gave the illustration of being faithful. You know, when you become faithful and when you are consistent and you continue obeying and trusting God, you know, the rewards will eventually show. It's not just something that's one and done. You know, if someone goes to the gym, you can't just expect them to be strong, get all the muscles after that one day. It takes time. It takes consistency. And if we are going to have a faith that lasts, if we are going to grow and have a life that's shaped by faith, we have to continue in it. You see, spiritual maturity, it's not produced by occasional exposure to God's word, but it's by continual submission to God. John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see, our faith can't be dependent on an occasional fellowship with God. It can't be dependent on occasionally opening God's word. But it has to be a lifestyle that continually goes back to God's word. But it's also about not forgetting God's word. I was speaking with someone at the beginning of the service, and we were just relating how many times we forget things. But when we read God's word, we don't want to just be a forgetful hearer. I don't know about you, but this is something that I also struggle with. You know, how many of you have read the Bible, and then you walk away, and you start working on your to-do list and what you need to get done, and all of a sudden, you just forget what you read about? You know, I'm guilty of that. But how can we live a life that as we take in God's word, we don't just forget it? We allow it to grow. Well, it starts by putting it in front of us. It starts by, you know, we make lists so that we remember things. Why can't we do the same with God's word? You know, make notes. Write journals. Write things down so that we won't be guilty of just hearing it, but that we can also meditate on it and do it. But notice the closing verse, the closing line of this verse. Verse 25, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, I don't know about you, but in what God has called me to do in my ministry, I want God to bless it. I want to be prosperous as a Christian. I want to live a life that honors and glorifies God. And we see that if we desire that, we have to be a doer of the word. He comforted Joshua, and he said that, hey, if you want to be successful, meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt have success. Luke 11, 28 says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Psalms 1, verse 2 and 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And if our delight is in the law of the Lord, look what it says in verse number 3 of Psalms 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I was reading that verse. Now, there are a lot of trees who just sit there and do nothing, right? We see trees that wither away. We see trees that kind of get old and die. But if we want to be compared to like a tree in Psalm chapter 1, the purpose of a tree is to produce fruit. And if you're sitting here this morning as a Christian, we are to also produce fruit. And we can't do that on our own. The Bible says if we are a doer of the word, if we are meditating in it day and night, if it's a part of us and we allow it to grow, then we will produce fruit and we will grow. For the ending of verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Anytime I think of that verse, I remember the story, you know, the person who had the Midas touch. You know, everywhere that he went, everything he touched, it changed to gold. And ultimately, that didn't work out too well for him. But can you imagine that everything that we do and live as a Christian, if we were to be successful in it, we can be, the Bible says. But we have to meditate on God's word and delight in it. As we close this morning, James has shown us that the Bible, it's much more than just a book. But it's the engrafted word that we need to take root within us so that we can produce spiritually and produce fruit. So that the revealing word, it acts just like a mirror. It exposes what's not just on the outside, but also in our hearts. It shows us what we need to change. But also the liberating word gives us the truth that frees us from the bondage of sin. Maybe you've been here this morning and you've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, well, maybe just a couple months. All spiritual growth isn't determined how long we've been saved or how many verses we can memorize. It's taking what we've heard and doing it. Are you allowing God's word to change your heart? Am I different because of God's word? This week, don't just hear and read God's word, but allow God to change you this week. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have a time of invitation this morning. Just have a few questions for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Brother Ben, I'm not sure that I have a relationship with God. You talked about the sin that enslaves us, that has us in bondage. I do not think that I have been freed from the penalty of sin. Maybe God has been speaking to your heart through his word this morning about salvation. I can tell you that he loves you. That's why he died for you. That's why he sent his son on the cross for you. His desire is to have a relationship with you. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be more than happy to show you. No one's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, go and just raise your hand this morning. I just want to pray for you. I do not think that I have received Christ as my Savior. Next question is, what has God shown you through his word recently? Maybe it's something you heard this morning. Maybe it's something you heard yesterday or this past week. What are you going to do about it? Maybe God has revealed something to you that needs to change. Are you going to not just be a hearer, but will you be a doer? Let's all stand with our head bowed, eyes closed. As the piano begins to play, we're going to have a time of invitation. There'll be people up here in the front who love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you have not received Christ as your Savior. You can get that taken care of today. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about maybe there's something in your life that needs to change. See, the purpose of us as Christians is not to just live every day the same, but it's to become more and more like Christ. As we read God's word, he speaks on our heart on what we should do to become more like him. Are we obeying? Are we responding? Maybe there's something that you've been holding on to that God has been telling you to just give to him. Maybe there's a burden. Don't look into God's word as a mirror and walk away the same. You can be changed, and he can do it. Will you allow him? The altar is open. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. Father, I believe that you have spoken to us this morning. I pray that each and every one of us would not walk away different, but that we would trust you and trust your word, and that we would change those things so that we can have a faith that's strong, but also we can grow spiritually. Thank you so much for each and every one of us that's here this morning. I pray and ask you that you give us a great rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.